We'll recite it. Page 36. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Bless me first to realize that the excellent life of leisure I've found just this once is ever so hard to find and ever so valuable. Grant me then to wish, never stop to wish, that I could take its essence night and day. Okay, so what you see here is you open up the back of the triangle room, which is a point, right? And it's a double door. I see it as a big double gate, and it leads out. And if you've ever seen the ghats in India that lead into the river, you know, these steps that go down into the water, and see a big moat around the building, and there's a big river there, and the steps go down into the water, and see a boat. Like, I see, like, a small Viking rowboat. Like, I don't like wimpy little rowboats, you know. I like a 20-foot oak, you know, boat, you know. And this is a boat, how you get to the building across the moat, okay. And this comes from Dhyanjo Tuche Mitate Mayi Panangapa Kyoba Linde Ki Tumbinuma Raki. It's in your sadhana, but the boat represents this body and mind that you were born with, okay? The ten of Dhyanjor, meaning leisure and fortune, okay? 18 leisures and fortunes. And you can go through the standard list and like that, and it's in the book. And the book only mentions leisures, and then he says why, and then he says you also have fortunes, and then he goes through them. But the main point is this, the next Lamgi Rinpa, going backwards, the next step of the path is to contemplate how precious your opportunity is. You know, what a good chance you have. Lenjik Nyepi Dewe Denchor Di means you're only going to get it once. And then the text goes on to say, this is an exaggeration. Actually, you can get it every billion years or so. You know? Okay. More, actually. Right. But the point is to be in a healthy body, to be able to think straight, to have any attraction for this stuff. I mean, you are one in a million already. You know, people ask me, what should I do when I get depressed? You know, Pabokra Rinpoche said, just contemplate the fact that even though you're not capable of doing Dharma very well, at least you're interested in it, and that already makes you one in a million. You know what I mean? There's not more than a few hundred serious Dharma students, well, maybe 1,000 in this country or something, but anyway, you're already one in a million. To be healthy, to be thinking straight, to have met authentic Buddhism, you know, the authentic texts of ancient Buddhism, to be able to go to courses in them, to have friends who are interested in it, you know, these are all like border on the impossible. And that's how they describe it. Like all the things that are going right in your life, you have exposure to tantric teachings, which is the most incredible. You know, you have qualified teachers. You have authentic texts at your disposal. You know, you have healthy body, you have a place to stay, you have enough to eat. You live in a country where you're not going to get beat up or hit on the head if you say you're a Buddhist. You know, all of these things are extraordinary. You live in a country where they think it's important to have religious freedom. You know, this is extremely rare in the history of mankind. You are one in a billion if you look at the history of mankind. You know, you have time to practice Dharma. You live in a country where food is plentiful enough that you can do all... I mean, everything about the chance you have right now is totally extraordinary. You know, totally, totally impossible. What you have now, this moment in time for you, this window of opportunity is unbelievable. And no one in America has had that up till now. And here you are. You know, and you're on the border of it. I also think of it as... fortunate that we are in the first generation of Buddhists. You see, because you don't have all the fairy tales that come with the second and third generation about, you know, Saint Winston and say, you know what I mean? you don't have all that. We don't have that baggage yet. You see, we're in a fresh place where we can see it for what it is and we can use it. You know, it's all fresh. It's all accurate. We're not loaded down. We don't have yet Dharma infighting, and you know, it's all fresh now, and you get to be the first translator of such and such a text, or you know, you get to be the first American who did this meditation. And I think in many ways we're very lucky. This is the golden times of Buddhism, and these are the Kadampas of America. You know, and you're there, you're in on it at the opening. You know, and I think it's very exciting, very wonderful times. Have a very, very pure tradition coming from Tibet and being taught by very holy people. I mean, I once checked every word in the Abhidharma Kosha to see if it matched the Sanskrit, and there was one word difference in 150 pages. And that's because the verse just wouldn't fit it. There's too many words, and they had to use an extra line, you know. And it's like that. The Tibetans kept it very purely, and they're giving it to us for free, you know, and very rare. So think about all those things when you see the boat, okay? So you've been taken across this, the water, and that gets you to the first door, which is the Kyebuchung, beginning capacity, smaller capacity. By the way, the boat is considered a preliminary in this text, okay? So it doesn't count as a room yet, all right? It's just how you get to the first room, okay, from the outside. So the fact that you have all these things working for you, okay, is the boat. The boat represents that, okay? So we'll do a tiny meditation on the boat, okay? And you can read the other ones. You know, you haven't been born as an animal. You haven't been born as a hungry ghost. You live in a place where the Dharma has reached, you know, things like that. But the things I said to me are the most relevant things. Yeah.
Those freedoms relating to the environment you live in, are those what are mentioned later, like in later verses, as the what if you didn't have them would be external obscurations? What are the internal and external obscurations?
They divide them into freedoms that relate to yourself and freedoms that relate to others. And that would be, yeah, you're not handicapped, you're not retarded, you don't have a low Dharma IQ, you know, where somebody starts talking about Buddhism and you start yawning or something like that. You see what I mean? Those are internal. And then external is, you know, there's no religious persecution to speak of in this country. And things like that, those are external. Okay? They're in the book, 5 external, 5 internal.
So but that's what that verse at the end.
Yeah, they're at this section. Yeah.
What is the essence referred to that I could take its essence?
This is maybe not a very good translation of a Tibetan word, Ningbo Lemba, which means to get the most out of something. So not to waste the opportunity. So take the essence in Tibetan means you don't blow the opportunity. Take the essence means you get the most out of the opportunity you have. We all have obstacles, and they are invisible and they are insidious. I mean, the fact that you see a lama do something and you think something bad or weird or something like that is a reflection of your own mind. And we all have different obstacles like that. Like somebody explains logic to you and you think it's the most boring thing you could ever think of or something like that. You know, everybody has... You hear about the controversy between Dalai Lama and somebody else about something and you believe it. And you start thinking, whose side should I take, or something like that, and you don't realize that the whole event is taking place because of you. You see what I mean? Like you have there's all these increasingly higher obstacles that you have to jump over. And everybody has some. You know, all of us have some kind of blindness, and it's very weird. You know, you can sit in a room with a Bodhisattva Arya and think that nothing interesting going on or something like that, because you just don't recognize what's going on. You see what I mean? And you have a true, these are very nasty, spiritual, invisible blocks that you can't, until you get over them, you can't progress, you know? So you have hundreds of them in your mind, and they're restricting your vision of things. And these are all, you've got most of them overcome, or you wouldn't be here. And then the process of getting to the courtyard is to remove the other ones. And each time you go through a door, or each time you move on to a new room, it's because you get there because you've eliminated certain invisible, very nasty spiritual obstacles that you're not even aware you have. You know what I mean? You're looking at the world a certain way because of certain blinders you have. And the worst thing is you're not even aware of them. You think the world looks about that big. You know what I mean? Because you always had them on. And the religious progress, spiritual progress, is the is removing them one by one. Okay, and then suddenly you see all this thing that was around you all the time anyway. Okay, so anyway, if you're in the boat, you're a long way there anyway. Okay, so meditate on the boat. Think about the obstacles you have. Think about the chance you have now. Okay, the other thing about this chance is it doesn't last very long. Okay, they say Namke Lokdan Da means it lasts. Relatively speaking, it's like lightning. It lasts about as long as a strike of lightning. Yeah, I've met many, many, many students. I've been with Kim Rinpoche for 25, 30 years. I've seen them come and go. You know, they come some of them come fanatical, get disillusioned within 6 months. Some of them come not so fanatical. They build up, and then they have an event and they leave. Some of them come not interested at all, then they get interested, and then they become great scholars, and then they become very good students. I mean, I've seen every combination of it, and you don't know how long the karma you have in your mind to be interested will last. So you have to bulwark it up. You know, you have to take care of it, and think about how lucky you are to even be interested. The most sad thing I think is when people they orbit in close to the Dharma and then they go out again. And so you gotta appreciate where you are. Very rare opportunity. You're very close to the source, and take advantage of the opportunity now before your karma shifts a little bit. Okay, so meditate on the boat.